Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we will focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Ampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire.
Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. This is episode 24. I think we can all agree that this year has been extremely challenging for everyone. And we don't even need to explain why, really, because we've all lived through this and we've talked about many of the things on our podcast since the spring. Normally this summer we would do a mid-year business review and set goals for the next 6 months, but it's not so easy to do that this year. Not only have many of our businesses suffered a setback because of the pandemic and its financial consequences, but we also face many unknowns as we look at the next 6 to 12 months. So, instead, we decided to dedicate this episode to the topic of doing a business review in light of extraordinary circumstances like the COVID-19 pandemic, correcting course and setting new goals.
Yeah, it's been a very strange year indeed, and I've been really frustrated because I was a little late earlier this year with my business review and business planning. So I think I was ready to sort of reset and start on a revised course in March, just before the spring break here in Texas. And then this whole thing happened, and it was really frustrating to not be able to do all of the things that I have planned, and even not being able to plan as much as I would like. So it's been frustrating, but I feel ready to start this process now, as hard as it seems to, still seems to be planning in light of the pandemic. I think we all need some routine and some certainty as much as possible, of course, in our lives. So I think it's a really timely topic and one that I personally need a lot in my life right now. So last year, we shared an episode on the topic of setting goals and discussed how we conducted our business retreat. That conversation was in episode 8, and in case you haven't listened to it yet, we'll add the link to the show notes. I think it would be interesting to compare the steps that we talked about in that episode with our current reality and see if we could still apply some of that advice and figure out what needs to be modified. So the first step, as we discussed in our previous conversation about business retreat or business planning, however you want to call it, the first step is to lay out the goals. Will you be reviewing and setting goals just for your professional life or your personal life as well? What aspects of your work would you like to cover if you are doing several things, say if you're doing translation or interpreting or teaching or writing or any of the other things that relate to our profession? Which ones will you be covering in your business review? Will you be including any personal goals related to maybe your work-life boundaries, your parenting responsibilities, or any other family-related responsibilities, time with your partner or your family, travel, if you're able to travel, health and lifestyle-related habits, and so on.
Yeah, I can totally agree with you on kind of feeling bad about how maybe things need to be corrected at this point, but I think you laid out a really good first step there. Just one thing I thought of while you were talking about how you felt like you were late starting the year in planning and then all of this happened is that I think I've heard from a lot of translators and interpreters that they're very frustrated about having had big goals and big plans for the year, and then they feel like they just kind of got sabotaged by the whole pandemic situation, which is extremely difficult to kind of swallow, but it's also understandable if you feel bad. I think we need to acknowledge that, you know, no matter what it is that you had in mind for the year, it's important to just recognize, and I think we've talked about that here before, that, you know, it's fine to take that time to sort of let it sit and then realize, okay, but now I got to pick myself up and move on. So I think that you laid out a good step about setting the goal for their business review. And then I would say a step two would be to decide how you would like to organize your business retreat, we'll call it. Where and when can you do it? And since you are, you know, obviously in the middle of a pandemic, you might not be able to travel for this particular retreat or go anywhere like a cafe or a restaurant or something. But you can probably make a special spot in your home or outdoors to do your retreat. And then just schedule the time to do it. I find for myself, when I schedule something like this and I, you know, make it a priority as if it were a meeting, you know, let's say a meeting with somebody else, because we tend to not cancel those. We tend to cancel our own plans before we cancel on someone else. But just really schedule the time and make sure that you block off that time on your calendar. And then if you don't have any choice but to have your retreat at home, consider how you can ensure that you have the time you need to do this in an uninterrupted way. I think it's important to set yourself up to try to be successful with this. You know, of course, something might happen to mess up your plans a bit, but I think it's really important to try to think ahead proactively and say, okay, when will I have a set period of time uninterrupted where I can tackle this? And then, of course, consider whether you would like to do this alone or with a colleague. You know, Veronica and I did this last year together, right before the annual ATA conference. And I think it was helpful to have an outside perspective and to be able to ask somebody else questions and say, well, what do you think of this? You know, I think that that's important. And then, you know, you could, since we can't meet in person, obviously, you could make the time to do this online. And I think that that's very valid. And I think that our colleagues, there are colleagues who would say, yes, I'd love to do this. And I would love to partner with somebody else. And for some people, just having that extra bit of accountability is really helpful.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And it was so helpful and inspiring to do this with you, whether it's together or just reporting back to each other after a business review. It's something I'd recommend to others to try to do as well. And I can relate so much to what you said about scheduling the time to do this and finding some uninterrupted time for your business retreat, because it may seem like it's something you can sort of squeeze in between other tasks and, oh, I'll just, you know, do this at the end of the day or I'll start my day with it. But I think it's there are huge benefits to doing this task all at once and not breaking it down into smaller chunks. So the next step would be to decide what topics you want to cover and what you want to achieve during the time that you have available. For example, I would like to review the professional and personal goals and achievements that I've had for the past, say, 6 months. Think about what went well and what areas of improvement I see. Of course, the pandemic threw a giant wrench in many of my plans, so I have to review if those plans that I, or those goals that I have originally set, if they are still relevant and if I would like to modify them, if I would like to transfer them for the next 6 months, and just see how they fit. I would then like to review the projects that I have completed so far this year and my existing client roster and see if there are some projects that I would like to highlight, say, on my website or add to my marketing portfolio, maybe request those clients for testimonials. As for clients, I would like to review how the relationship is going and if I need to send them a thank you note or an email and see if there are similar potential clients that I could reach out to, sort of have that brainstorming session with myself on that topic. I also think that I would need to think about the services that I provide and the niches that I serve and how has the pandemic affected those and if I need to make any changes. And I know we'll talk about it in a little more detail later on. But I think there's value in thinking a little bit outside the box here and seeing if there's anything else you'd like to add to your portfolio. And if so, how do you build up the skills that are necessary in those areas? And that would lead me to thinking about my professional development plan. What professional development goals do I have related to my business goals? And what skills do I need to work on in order to get there? I'll also have to think about the personal side of my life, my childcare situation, my plans for the school year and how they affect my availability, and sort of review and set my working hours based on that. And also plan my time off, including maybe some school holidays where I will know that my kids don't have any school, whether it's in person or virtual, and I would need to take some time off. I'll also think about my workspace situation. I'm sharing my office with my husband, so perhaps there are some areas for improvement there, and my personal goals. So that's my plan for my business retreat. What do you think about this, Madalena?
Wow. Yeah.
Comprehensive.
Yes, that was quite comprehensive. Yeah, I think you have a really good plan in place, but I think that your plan, as you've laid it out, is something that can be done also for the beginning of the year. So let's say, you know, you just do this annually going forward after this. I mean, obviously this is a time to do, like we said, sort of course correcting, because our annual goals or what we thought we might do this year might not be working out as planned, right? So I think, yeah, you did a very comprehensive and thorough job of deciding like what it is you want to sit down and think about. For me as well, I would say that I would take a look at my current clients and who among those clients I would consider to be my ideal clients and how I could go about either serving them better and also finding more similar clients, sort of like what you said as well. I know that I personally had certain goals in mind this year with certain projects that I wanted to do, and I'm kind of behind on some of those. A lot of that is related to the pandemic, but some of it is just related to other tasks that I've added to my plate in other areas of work that I do. And so I have to remember that, okay, you know, if this is my priority, then something else is going to have to either, you know, slow down or be put on the back burner or delegated to someone else. So I think I want to take a look again at the larger projects I had in mind for the year and decide if they're still feasible. And finally, something as you were talking made me think is that a lot of people have set financial goals for the year, like a lot of people do, right? You know, whether it's related to your business and how much income you want to have in the coming year, or, you know, like let's say you did this at the beginning of the year. Are you still on track for your income goals this year? I think most people would say probably not. But you know, the pandemic didn't affect everybody the same way, so some people might be on track. And do you feel like you're going to finish out the year still on track or a little behind, or maybe, if you're lucky, a little bit ahead? But I think it's important to do that, not only for your business, but also personally. And you kind of touched on this too. My husband and I just recently had our quarterly meeting with our financial advisor, and some of the financial goals that we set for this year had to be modified. And that's okay. You know, I mean, it is what it is. We can't always be hitting our goals 100% of the time. So I think it's really important to think about how you can course correct, whether it's worth trying to course correct on a particular item on your list of planning, or if it's something that's better to put off for a little longer. And when I say put off, I mean really think about that, because it's easy to put off something that feels hard to do. And so I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you should just put something off because it's difficult or because it may or may not happen. I mean, you won't know until you really put the time in, right? But I think it's really important to look for the reality behind what it is you want to do and determine if that reality is still relevant. And if it's still relevant and it's still something that could be done, and you have the energy and the ability and the time to do it, I would say try it. You know, you never know what's going to happen. Even if you don't reach your goal, you still might get close. And I think that's worthwhile. So also when you're having this retreat, I would say to make sure to cover certain topics. For example, we also recommended in episode 8 that you make a list of tasks that you dislike, maybe that you don't have time for, things that you feel like might waste your time, things that you could outsource, delegate, or even cross off your list altogether. And those items are within your business and your personal life. Because again, you know, a lot of this freelance work and home life can be very overlapping. So, you know, sort of like what you said about some of your personal goals, well, some of your personal goals might be affected by some of your business goals or vice versa. Or maybe you have a very important personal goal, which means that one of your business goals might need to go at a little bit of a slower pace, and that's okay. So I think it's important to really pay attention to looking at anything that you could even just take off your list or delegate. And we also talked about our peak productivity hours and what types of tasks we do best in the morning or in the afternoon. So I think that I still work best in the morning, but I'm somebody who likes to get in my exercise around mid-morning or early morning if I can. And this is not always easy to do because, you know, you have a lot of situations where, especially this year, unexpected things happen. And so I think we have to remember that it's okay to be flexible, but if you get to the point where you're having to work during a time that's not a peak productivity hour, over time, you may start to feel resentful about that and say, wow, like I'm not getting the type of work or output that I want because I'm not able to work during the time that I'm most productive. And so then I think it's really worth reassessing, what are your goals and do you need to be maybe less hard on yourself about what you're producing during those hours? Because we can't always necessarily work during our peak productivity hours if something like this, you know, that has been so life-changing for so many people forces you to work during different hours. So I would say, you know, still look at your peak productivity hours, but say, okay, I might have only an hour in the morning, and that's usually my peak time to work. So then maybe make a really good effort to not just use that hour checking emails and actually do it to work on something toward your goals that is really important to you. Because of course those emails would be there when you get back. So I would say when you have, you know, a little less time, or maybe it's not your peak productivity time, maybe that's a good time to wrap up or catch up on emails.
Yeah, it's been an interesting experience for me, for sure. And I know you've had similar struggles too with parenting and finding time for the things that you're used to do at certain, certain hours of the day when you also have other responsibilities on top of work. And I'd say that the biggest takeaway for me has been to, as you said, definitely go easy on yourself, but also I've learned to prioritize so much better than I was able to before, and really being okay with not getting to read and reply to emails that are really not that urgent. They just seem urgent in my head, because I don't like having those emails in my inbox unopened, and I don't like thinking that people are waiting for a reply where in reality I know they aren't expecting a response right away.
You just described my entire being. Yes, I get it.
So I've gotten so much better at this. Like now, where before I would really feel anxious and sort of, you know, I can't wait to get to those emails, where now I'm like, it's okay. They'll still be there. No one expects a response right away. It's summer. So many people are, you know, if they're lucky and they're on vacation, good for them. If they're at home with their kids like me, they understand that you can't respond right away. So that's been a big learning for me. I've also learned to be flexible when it comes to working within or outside of my peak productivity hours, because every day is different. Some days we have help with our kids. We have a babysitter. Other days my husband has time to maybe take the morning shift and I take the afternoon one. Some days we switch. So we've all had to stay flexible and do the best we can with what we have. And of course the fall and school coming back here in 2 weeks will change a lot. So it's going to be interesting to see how we adapt to that. But back to our business retreats, the next step would be to draft a schedule. And I think that has been a great thing that we did last year to really think about the agenda and, you know, schedule the time you need for covering all these different topics, include time for breaks, include time for meals, some movement. If you plan to meet with a colleague virtually or in person to recap and share, set the time for that as well. And I think that especially if meeting with a colleague to either brainstorm together or just recap and give feedback to each other, whether you meet in person or online, it is very important to respect each other's time and realize that we can't be productive if the virtual meeting drags on for hours. So decide on the logistics if you're doing it with a colleague. Do you want to have a fixed list of questions that you take turns answering? Do you want to answer those questions individually and then meet online and sort of share your biggest takeaways or plans? Do you want to take turns talking and giving each other feedback, then take a break and then reconvene? Or do you plan to work on your own and then reconvene and brainstorm together at the end? So there are many different options here. I still think it would be ideal to, especially in this time of sort of social isolation and social distancing and uncertainty that concerns everyone, I think it would be most beneficial to at least partially do this exercise with a colleague. But even if you're alone, it would also be good to take a little break and step away from this and maybe come back half an hour later or even the next day if that's what you have to do, and just take a look again at what you laid out, your plans, your goals, next steps, and see how it fits.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. And speaking of working with a colleague, I think it's really important to also look at the past few months and see how the pandemic has affected our industry, like so many other industries, and how you may want to consider changing course. And I don't mean changing jobs, but I mean, you know, think about maybe if you need to diversify or pivot your business a little bit to incorporate, you know, another service into your business that you might be qualified to offer as well. Especially for, you know, I know this has been a really hard year for interpreters. I mean, anything where you have to be on site, I think it's been a tough year. And so if you haven't already been interpreting virtually, like many of our colleagues have, or if you've only been doing it a little bit, you know, maybe it is time to think about diversifying your business and offering this more often to clients as a way to build your business back up. Or maybe you're a translator and your work has dried up during the pandemic. You know, is there another area in which you could work and be successful as well? Maybe there's a specialization that would complement yours very well. Or maybe you have a great knack for writing. Maybe you could think about becoming, in addition to your translation work as a freelancer, also a content writer or an editor. You know, there are other organizations out there. I think we've talked about before the Society for Editing, ACES. That's a very good national organization for editors. And so you could think about looking to see what they offer to their members or as, you know, professional development, how you could hone that skill even more. So I think it's really important to remember that no matter what, you have the ability to change course at any time in your business, whether it's during a pandemic or not. I did this a few years ago in my business, and I'm very open about sharing that. And I think it's important to be, because there are probably colleagues out there who have had to do the same or are thinking about doing the same, and they just don't want to talk about it because they don't, or they feel bad about it or something. I think it's really important to be open to diversifying in your business, but also to not be ashamed of doing it. I think for some reason, it's very common to hear people say that they don't diversify because this is the skill that they have and they don't offer anything else because, you know, they didn't go to school for something else. But you know what? I don't buy that. I think that if you're not thinking about diversifying your business, you're not safeguarding your business. And diversification doesn't mean you have to switch services or careers. It just means setting yourself up to where you don't put all of your eggs in one basket. Like, let's say, have only a small group of clients that you serve and you don't even try to look for any others. Or sticking to just one specialization and not trying to look into any other areas that might be, who knows, could be booming right now. So I think it's just a really smart business move to diversify your business as much as you can. And for the long term, that's just a very strategic thing to do. So I would definitely suggest that.
Yes, it's a smart thing to do. And I think some people may also struggle with the feeling of guilt, like, oh, you know, if I diversify or if I pivot, it means that I'm not doing well or I'm not succeeding. And I failed to do what I planned to do, but it's not that. It's really just about being smart about investing your time and your money and whether your business will be healthy and sort of survive this really hard situation that we're all going through. It's just smart decision making and planning. And our profession is not the only one facing these decisions. I think there are a lot of other similar industries and professions where people are thinking about the same thing, and it would be a good idea to check out what people are saying in those fields. I have received an email from the local chapter of the International Association of Business Communicators, and they're planning a webinar on diversifying your business and pivoting and thinking about other services you could provide as a business communicator. So it's a good idea to listen to these conversations happening in other fields and seeing if any of the advice and tips apply to you and what you can learn from what the other industries are facing. So another topic that many of our parent listeners will relate to when you are doing your business retreat, to think whether you need to make any decisions about your goals fitting into the need to provide care and support for your children. And it really depends on where you live and what your kids' ages are, whether the schools are open in person or virtual, and what other decisions you may need to make. Will your kids be staying home for the rest of this year? Will they return to school or daycare in the coming months? Will you make any other arrangements with someone like a nanny, a babysitter, or a family member to take care of them? Some people may decide to homeschool their kids decide to opt for a virtual school versus in-person school. You could look into sharing that responsibility with a friend who has kids of similar age. I know here in Houston and Houston area, there are a lot of pods opening up where several families with kids who have the same age decide to share the responsibility of looking after them and helping them with virtual school. So there are so many options. They're all difficult. I think it's a difficult decision. None of these options are ideal. Everyone does what's necessary, and just make sure that you take that into account when you set your goals and see how your availability will look like with all of the parenting responsibilities that you will have. Otherwise, you may become frustrated when things don't seem to be going in the direction you had planned. And that's something we're trying to avoid here. We're trying to plan. And I think especially if you're a parent, you may need to have not just one plan for what's going to happen in the fall and the winter, but plan A, plan B, and plan C maybe is what I think we'll have to do. Yeah. Is, you know, what happens if someone gets sick, or what happens if school is canceled, or what if we send them to in-person, you know, face-to-face learning option, and then the school closes? Like, we'll have to consider all those options.
Yeah, and none of those options feel good.
No, they're all terrible.
Yeah, there's no good answer here, but I think you hit a good point, is like having your own plan A, plan B, plan C. And I think that that's something, at least me as a parent, I could say, I don't know. I never really sat down with my spouse and said, hey, like, we need to have a plan B on what, you know, days that our daughter is inevitably get sick or something, has to stay home. We just kind of deal with it as it comes. And I don't really suggest that, because you will become frustrated very quickly. But, you know, I think everybody is, this has been such an interesting situation, because everybody is in this difficult situation right now, but everybody's circumstances are different still. So I think whatever you do, I like your idea of planning ahead and trying to avoid some of the frustration that comes with that. Another thing that you may need to do is, if you're sharing responsibilities, you know, parenting, make sure that you share them equally if you can, if they also work. So I know that our daughter, we took turns as well. You know, in the morning, one of us would be with her, in the afternoon, the other one. And I had the afternoon shift with her, because I just tend to have more of my business communications in the morning, partly because I live on the Pacific coast, so I'm several hours behind most other people that I tend to work with. And I know it was difficult for my husband, actually, because he, by the time it came time for him to be able to do his work in the afternoon, his brain was totally fried from having to deal with a toddler. So it can be difficult. And I think that if we end up having to do this again this fall, that we would probably have to switch up the days where one gets the morning or one gets the afternoon or something, because it just became really frustrating. And so I think even maybe more so for him than for me, because the afternoons I tend to think were easier, but I don't know. Maybe he wouldn't agree.
I like the idea of switching days. That's a great idea, actually.
Yeah, let yours know that I did suggest that. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. But if you're like us, you know, you need to continue sharing your workspace with somebody else, probably, if they're also working from home. Try to discuss, you know, the various aspects related to that, like physical space, schedule, ergonomics, noise, work hours, and anything else that you think might affect your working environment. At least for my husband and me, we don't have to share the same like office or room when we work. But I mean, we could be, but I've found that inevitably he'll start drumming on the table or something. You know, he's a drummer too. So he, not by profession, but he does play the drums. And so he doesn't even realize it. He's thinking about something, or, you know, he'll mumble something to himself as he's writing an email that, you know, he's thinking about. And I'm going, oh my gosh, you have to be quiet. And so we just, yeah, you're right. This is important to talk about. But I think that these are those types of things, like we just don't plan ahead because we don't think about them in advance. But it is important to talk about, you know, things that might affect your work environment for both of you. Some people work well with noise in the background, and some people need complete silence. So I think that it's really key to avoiding some of that frustration.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think that these issues become more obvious with time, as if you're sharing workspace with someone else. So we have an office set up in our house, which is big enough for my husband and me to share. And we've been doing that since March. We have enough, you know, space and desk and internet bandwidth and you name it. But with time, it kind of worked well in the beginning, because it was, you know, extraordinary circumstances and we just have to do the best we can. But as we realized that this is going to, you know, continue for a while, and with time, your patience sort of draws thin and you start noticing all this, you know, little quirks that we all have. And I realized that it's really hard for me to do any sort of creative work like translating or editing or writing or doing anything else creative when someone else is talking in the background right behind me. So I've had to step away and set up my computer elsewhere. One final thing to review at the business retreat is any goals related to health, lifestyle, and hobbies. This is something we often overlook as we do any sort of business planning and review, because we thought, oh, it's personal and I'll find ways to fit it into my schedule. You know, of course, I'll find time to read and of course I need to exercise, but I'll just see depending on my schedule when I can do that. But these things are so important, especially right now, for your physical health, your mental health, and on your journey toward better work-life clarity. So they're especially important to include into your business retreat. So think about the things that are important to you. What would you like to do for yourself in the next 6 months? Is it getting into the habit of daily movement and exercise, healthier eating habits, picking up a new hobby or finding time for your existing hobbies, going out for a walk every evening? What will give you some energy, inspiration, and much needed relief from the stress of the day-to-day life and your work? So write those down and prioritize them, and don't forget to include them into your business retreat.
This is such a good idea. I think that we as people can easily just, you know, not think of these things as part of a business retreat or think that they would affect our business in any way, but truly they do. You know, I mean, if you don't feel like you're being fulfilled outside of work, you can easily let your work fulfill you and be the only thing that you do, or feel frustrated by your work and also by the fact that you don't have time or make the time for those things related to, you know, your health, your hobbies, or whatever, you know, your wanting to do in your personal life. So yeah, I think that that's a really important thing to consider and not leave off the table there when you're doing this. Also, when your review is complete and you've set your goals, it's important to define like what your next steps are going to be. Do you need to plan a project or something, or do you need to plan something to reach your goal? What steps will you take to get to that goal? Because I think we've all set goals before and we've had big aspirations and we say, by the end of the year, I want to do X. And by the end of the year, I want to do Y and Z. But if we don't actually figure out what the steps are to get there, the months will pass. I mean, I feel like we all feel like we're in a bit of a time warp right now. Can't believe it's already August by the time this episode is released. But, you know, that's something that if we don't think ahead, everything else in life or work takes over and comes first. But if we define the next steps, we can put those steps on a task list or on a calendar or schedule certain things to get done. And by the time the end of the year comes or whatever your end date is to reach a goal, you could either have totally missed it because you didn't plan ahead, or you might be really close to or have already achieved it, you know, maybe even ahead of time. So this is something that I think is really important. And as you always know, I talk about my full focus planner, but I really like this particular way of planning because it has a process in it where you do a weekly preview. So you look back at the previous week and what your goals were and how successful you were or weren't, you know, what went well, what needs to be changed, what you would keep doing, what you would change. And it also includes quarterly goal planning. So I think that it may sound a little bit tedious, but it's actually really eye-opening to look back and go, oh, I forgot that I had written down that goal and it's still important to me, but I didn't do anything about it, you know, or something got in the way and I didn't think, you know, about a plan B. So maybe next time I'll say, well, if I still want to stay on course, I need to have a plan B for when the unexpected happens. So I think that that's a good way to maybe wrap up, is just to define your next steps before you finish your retreat so that, you know, your aspirations do actually become your reality.
Yeah, that's so true. And I'm going to use my full focus planner for my business retreat as well. And I'm so excited. I just received a message today from their online store that the kids full focus planner that I ordered for my daughter is on its way. So I'm really excited to check it out and use mine as she uses hers. So I'll tell you how I like it when it's here. So to summarize what we talked about today, we discussed planning your business retreat in light of the pandemic and, you know, possibly changing course or correcting your course. So we talked about such steps as laying out the goals for your business retreat, deciding what topics you want to cover and what you want to achieve during the time that you have available. We also shared our advice to actually find some uninterrupted time and space for you to do it in a focused and efficient manner. Drafting a schedule for your retreat, some sort of agenda, and decide whether you will do it alone or if you have a colleague that you could share this experience with and maybe do it together in some way or form. Some things that we suggested including in your business retreat are reviewing how the pandemic has affected your business and if you need to think about diversifying or pivoting. If you're a parent, thinking about issues related to childcare or your parenting responsibilities and how these things will affect your availability and your ability to work within your peak productivity hours or the need to adjust. Setting goals related to health, lifestyle, and hobbies. Don't forget about thinking about your workspace, your, you know, maybe some things related to ergonomics or noise, whether you work alone in your office or your workspace or sharing this with your partner or somebody else. And what next steps would you need to plan for after you complete your business retreat? So we hope that this episode will give you some new ideas on how to conduct a business retreat and set goals, even in these difficult and uncertain times when you feel like you may need to do some course correction. We'd love to know if you happen to give any of these tips a try, or if you have some smart habits to share on this particular topic. Send us an email at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com or leave a comment on our website under the show notes for this episode. And now it's time for a smart habit check-in. So a habit that I'm working on right now is adjusting my morning routine and my evening routine in terms of getting ready for the new school year to start. It's starting here in Texas in a couple of weeks, which means that I have to start working with my kids on waking up and going to bed earlier than we have been doing this summer. It's been really good to have a more relaxed schedule, but I think we're all ready to go back to our routine. So I'm giving myself a head start and starting to wake up a little earlier every day, trying to get back to my pre-pandemic 5:30 a.m. wake-up time. And that way I will have time for exercise and some work before my kids wake up and need to get ready for school. So I'm trying to stick to my evening routine so that I wake up earlier. So I do have to make sure I don't go to bed too late. And I've been scheduling my workouts in my calendar because I just still like to work out before my kids wake up. But sometimes the decision-making process, like, oh, which workout am I doing today and what do I feel like? It just takes too much time. So I just schedule them the night before or even for the entire week in advance on Sunday. And I get my workout clothes laid out and ready so that I don't waste any time thinking about that in the morning and just go, you know, straight to it. So that when my kids wake up, I have already worked out, showered, you know, ready for the day and possibly even worked a little bit. So what habit are you working on right now?
Wow, I'm just impressed. I mean, yeah, I think I had a routine like that before my daughter was born. And then potentially a little bit after, but not for a while. That's really cool. I like the idea of scheduling the workouts in there ahead of time for the week, because you're right, when you have different options, it can slow down the whole thing, and then you're, yeah, but before you know it, you're like, oh, I had planned for 30 minutes and now I only have 20 minutes of time. Exactly. To work out or something. So the habit that I'm working on is continuing to work on items like household projects on the weekends, where it doesn't feel like it's taking away from my family time, but I still feel like I'm getting something done around the house that has been on my list for a while, but that maybe it would feel really good to get it done, but I put it off because I've been busy or because I just didn't have the whole thing planned out or something. And in our house, I'm the handier one, my husband is not very handy and he doesn't care about it. So, I'm the one who enjoys like doing things around the house. And so, during the week, I kind of try to set myself up so that on the weekend, when the project comes up that I want to work on, I have the items that I need to do it. I have a plan about when I'm going to do it on the weekend. Usually it's during my daughter's nap time, so it doesn't interfere with the time that we want to be spending together on the weekends. And it's usually something that for me is very fulfilling, actually. So it's sort of a habit, but sort of a hobby, I guess you could say. But it takes a little bit of planning, because it's another thing, like we've talked about, obviously, throughout this episode today, is that if you don't plan for it, other things can get in the way. Or you start a project and you realize I don't have everything I need or something like that. So it's also been a good way for me to step away from my work. I think that that's important. I try not to work on the weekends. Sometimes I have to, but I try not to make that a habit. And so we realized when everything happened this year that we were probably not going to get to travel much this year. Yeah. And so I said, well, why don't we put aside some money that we would have used to travel and do some like upgrades around the house? And so that's been a really nice change. And it's also, you know, when you finish it, it's actually very satisfying because you can see your work, you know, come to fruition, if you will. Yeah. So that's been sort of a habit, sort of a hobby that I've been working on.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay, so now on to our popular segment, the Book Nook. For anybody who's new to our podcast, the Book Nook is where we share a book that we either are reading or that we've recently read and that we would recommend to our listeners. I don't think we ever share books that we don't recommend, but I mean, we do give an honest take on what we thought about the book. But in this case, my most recent read is, it's called Little Fires Everywhere, and it's by Celeste Ng. And it's not a new book. It's a newish book. I think it was in the last several years that she wrote it. And I think she wrote another book before that. But recently, I heard that it was turned into a series on Hulu, which is sort of like Netflix for anybody who doesn't know what Hulu is. I think a lot of people probably do by now. But I just happened to take a look. And by the way, it's a very good story. It's a story about mothers and daughters, and sort of also about community and how people take care of each other or turn against each other. So it's just very interesting. And it's set in a suburb in Cleveland, Ohio. It's a very well-written book. And I had this book for a while. I started it a long time ago. I didn't really get into the book. And then I heard about the series on Hulu and I said, well, I don't like to watch a series or movie until I've read the book. And I had the book. So I said, yeah, I'll try to tackle that one again. And I'm glad that I did. I enjoyed it this time. So it reminded me of something that one of my roommates, when I studied in Spain, she said to me, she said, there's a time and a place for every book. And I think that's true because sometimes you just can't get into a book at a certain time in your life. And then later on you pick it up and you go, wow, that was a really good book, but I wouldn't have appreciated it before for whatever reason. And so I happened to look on her website, the author, Celeste Ng, and I realized that this book has been translated into at least 36 languages.
Wow.
So you could read it in Russian. You could read it in French, Norwegian. There are lots of books here. And what I like, maybe we can include this link in the show notes, is that it shows the covers for all of those languages. So I thought that was pretty cool. What about you?
Wow, I love it. I'm so curious. I've been thinking of watching this series for a while, but I'm the same. Just like you, I like reading the book first.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it'll spoil my impression of the book if I watch the movie or the series before. So yeah, I'll do that. I'll read the book first and then watch the series. As for the book, I am finishing right now. I, like you, I signed up for Book of the Month. So in my first Book of the Month box, I received a book called Beauty in Breaking by Michelle Harper. And it's a story of an emergency room physician who is recovering from some personal trauma. And she reflects on her past as she takes care of her patients and she observes their struggles. I must say that it was a little difficult to read at the beginning. It's just very, it's about her childhood trauma, and I found it just heartbreaking to read, but I powered through it. And the rest of the book is still, it's not an easy read. There's a lot of stuff happening between people, relationships, you know, some traumatic events, but it's a beautifully written story. And it's, you know, ultimately about how we look at each other and how we work together individually and as a community, how we help ourselves and each other to overcome difficult situations, how to pick yourself up after trauma and build yourself up despite all the things that life throws at you. I highly recommend this book.
That's great. I want to check it out now.
Yeah. So that's it for this week's episode. We'll be sending your email subscribers a summary of today's conversation with a link to all the resources that we mentioned today, and we'll send this on August 18th. So if you'd like to receive it, please sign up for our emails on our website, smarthabitsfortranslators.com. And if you'd like to be notified when our episodes are released, you can subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to it.
And if you like our podcast, there are a couple of simple ways that you can show your support. Please share the podcast with your colleagues and friends and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. This only takes a minute, and we've recorded a quick video tutorial to show you how to do that. We'll link to that in the show notes. Also, you might find us on Instagram. We are at Smart Habits for Translators there. And something else that you could do is, perhaps if you're listening, take a screenshot from wherever you're listening, whatever app you're using, and share it by tagging us as well on Instagram so that others can learn about the podcast and find us, and we can keep sharing this with colleagues. We also wanted to let you know that we will be taking a short break for the rest of the month of August. We'll be back with a new episode on September 8th. Until then, stay tuned, subscribe to our podcast, and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook to find out about the next topic.
Talk to you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered a simple strategy that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover on this podcast, please record a quick voice message and email it to us at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you like this episode, please leave us a rating wherever you listen to podcasts, and please share the podcast with other translators you know.